My name is Ben Tharp. For those of you who might not know me, I am the new youth director here at Trinity Church. And this morning we are continuing our series on refreshment. And the last few weeks we looked at refreshment through rest and refreshment through work. And this morning I have the pleasure of talking about refreshment through play, which I know many of you are thinking, well, that is what the youth guy would preach on, playing. And in all seriousness, I actually selected this. I was given a choice, and I wanted to preach on this because this is something that I want to explore more, the idea of how we are refreshed spiritually through the act of play. And before we do that, we kind of need to spend a little time defining what I mean by play. In our culture, play is such a broad word, and it can be used to describe so many different things. But in Scripture, the Bible actually uses several different words for play. And one of those words is nagon, and that is a Hebrew word specifically referring to the playing of an instrument. It also uses the word titsak, which is laughter and merriment. And also the word sha'ah, which is to delight in something, specifically kind of carries a connotation of a child delighting. The book of Isaiah uses this word to describe a child will play at the hole of a cobra. And it's the idea that there's a kind of a carefree attitude of a child delighting in play, and he doesn't think about all those other things, but he's just focused in on playing. For the sake of our topic this morning, we're going to take those three words and kind of form a definition, and that definition is play is the act of participating in an activity for no other reason than the joy of that activity itself. And this is what separates play from work or rest. Because when we work, when we engage in work, we are working towards something. When we're resting, we are working, so to speak, to being rested. But play is nothing more than just play. It's not working for an end. Play is an end unto itself. It's not accomplishing anything other than it brings us joy. And this morning, we're going to look at Psalm 8. So if you would stand with me as I read our passage this morning. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen and also the beasts of the fields, the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We pray that you would open our hearts and minds to your truth on how we can learn to be refreshed by the gift that you have given us in play. Lord, I pray all these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Like many of you growing up, I loved to play. Play was my favorite thing in the world. I was homeschooled, and so that meant not that I slept in and didn't start school until noon. That meant I got up early and finished my school by noon, so I had the afternoon to play. And I worked hard to be able to play. I lived out in the country, and so I loved just roaming around. I loved to play. I was a big fan of Robin Hood and Peter Pan. And being from Texas, Davy Crockett. I also loved sports. My backyard was an escape. I was able to take anything in my backyard and in my mind through play, find joy and just make it be whatever I wanted it to be. I had a fort in our backyard that would transform to the grandest of pirate ships if I was particularly interested in pirates that day. And I would spend hours doing that. And it didn't accomplish anything. It just brought me joy. I didn't learn how to be, you know, I wasn't working towards I'm going to be a pirate one day, or I was going to be a Robin Hood impersonator. No, I just found joy in play in the backyard. My backyard could go from a pirate ship, but also could go to the Astrodome, and I was on the Houston Astros playing baseball. Or I was down next to Hakeem Olajuwon in the Rockets playing basketball in my backyard. It could be whatever I wanted it to be. It was about middle school, though, that I stopped truly playing. Middle school was a transformation where I took those childish things of playing like I was Robin Hood or a pirate or Davy Crockett, and, well, those are kids' things. Those aren't cool. Play no longer came. We had that joy. I love sports, but in middle school, being as a seventh grader, being 6'3", basketball gave me fame. I stopped playing basketball purely for the joy of the game, but because I was getting something in return. I was working towards something, and play was no longer play. I think we as adults easily forget the importance of play for us. Everyone here would say, yeah, childcare, we need time to play. Schools need to have, you know, set aside time for play because that's good for children. Parents, we get together and we call play dates. We want our children to engage in play, but we don't find that we need to make the time or that has any benefit for us now. So why should we make time to play? We're already so busy. Why add one more thing to our busy schedules? I believe play is a gift from God unlike any other. Play is a unique mix, in some ways, of work and rest. Play can have an aspect of work because there's some physical exertion. When I go outside and I'm playing a pickup game of basketball, I'm sweating. I am working in what I'm doing. But I'm not getting paid for it. That's not my job. It's because I'm doing it because I love doing it. But there, it kind of feels like work because I'm pushing myself physically. But in that same vein, play also has an aspect of it's rejuvenating for us, just like rest is. When I go out and play a basketball game with friends, I'm really tired after the game, but there's an aspect of, okay, I feel refreshed. I feel, you know, kind of rested, even though I exerted a lot of energy. And play has that unique characteristic where it kind of fits between the two. This morning from Psalm 8, we're going to look at that play actually does two things that leads to our refreshment. And one is that play reflects the character of God to us. When we engage in play, we see God's character in ways we don't when we're at the office or when we're resting. Also, we will see that play foreshadows the joy of heaven. So let's begin looking at play that reflects the character of God. Now, I realize some of you might be thinking, why Psalm 8? Ben, you just read that, and play is not mentioned at all in this text. And I will say you are right. The word play does not appear in this text, but the idea that play, in its true form, draws us to see God in new ways, draws us to see a foreshadowing of the joy of heaven, is found here, because play draws our gaze heavenward. In verses 3 and 4, the psalmist says, "When I look at your heavens, and the works that your fingers have made, the sun, the stars, the moon, I ponder in my heart, who is man that you would care for him? Play, just like creation, draws us heavenward. God has placed his image or imprint on creation. And so when we are outside enjoying God's creation for the sake of being outside because we find joy there, we experience God in new ways. I'm a big fan of a guy named John Muir. Some of you might be familiar with him. John Muir is actually the forerunner of our national park system. So he really pushed to find a place, set aside areas of land where we can preserve it for its natural beauty. And John Muir said, "Everybody needs beauty as well as bread, places to play in and pray in, where nature may heal and cheer and give strength to the body and soul alike." I love these words because it gets at play is not just some games that we play. That is actually something that we need because we find refreshment in engaging in these activities. So play is also very similar to our word recreation. Webster actually defines both of those words almost the same way. And recreation is renew, being made new. And play has that aspect as well. Last year, my wife and I had some pretty hard family tragedy. My wife's mother passed away about 6 months after we got married from breast cancer. And this year has been an extremely difficult year for us. And we needed to get away. And so my wife and I planned last March that we were going to go to Arizona, a place that we had never been together. And we were living in Texas at the time, and we packed up my truck and we drove across Texas to Arizona, which is the worst drive. The worst drive, apart from maybe driving across Kansas. Not sure. But one of the worst drives, because there's absolutely nothing there. Going across Texas, there's just nothing. But we drove through, and we got to Arizona, and we were staying just outside of Saguaro National Park. And we were camping, and my wife had never been to the desert. And we got there late at night, so she couldn't really see what was around her. But we woke up the next morning, she walked out of the tent, and she was like, "Oh my gosh, this is fantastic, this is beautiful." And that morning, we went into Saguaro National Park, and we did a hike. We did a total of 6 mile hike, and the first 3 miles is all uphill. And it's in the desert, and it's just rocky, and the cactus are pretty cool. I grew up in Texas, so I kind of seen cactus, but you get out in Arizona and you have these big saguaro cactuses that are like trees, and it was really beautiful. But when we got to mile marker 3, it totally changed. Because actually the name of this trail was Bridal Wreath Falls. And so you don't think about it, but you get to this trail, and at the end of the trail there's a waterfall in the desert. And we look around and there's green and there's lush plants and animals, and it was beautiful. And I was exhausted after this hike, but I was like, this is great. I love it. Let's stay here in Saguaro National Park the rest of the week. We don't need to go to all the other places we've had planned. And my wife said, no, we're going to continue going. So the next morning, we go up to Sedona, Arizona, and we do some hikes around Sedona. And one hike we did was a 5 mile hike to Devil's Bridge. And Devil's Bridge, it sounds kind of ominous, but it was really cool. It's this giant rock bridge that you can actually walk out on. But as you walk out, you're overlooking this valley. And it's just as far as you can see, you're looking down this valley, and the valley floor is green. And then as the rock formations start, they're a deep brick red. And as they get higher, they turn to a pink, and then higher, even higher, this beautiful white, and the sun is reflecting off of everything. And I'm sitting there, and I'm looking out, and I can't help but just look at and think, I am so small. Looking out at just the vastness of this beauty, my heart was like, who am I in the grand scheme of all of this? And I go, let's just stay in Sedona the rest of the week. And my wife goes, no, we have other plans. We have other plans to go. So we drive up to Flagstaff. Now, Tucson, where we started, is, you know, maybe 3,000 feet. And then we drive up to Flagstaff, which is 7,000 feet. And 2 days before we got there, they had 21 inches of snow fall. And so we are there, and we have these beautiful trees, snow-capped peaks. We're hiking in the snow. We can hear the crunch of the snow beneath our feet. And I'm just mesmerized. As a Texan, we don't get snow. We don't get the beauty of the snow glistening in the sunlight. And I look at my wife, and I say, let's stay here. And she goes, no, we're gonna make our plans. And the next morning, we got up at 4 a.m. and got in the car and drove an hour north to the south rim of the Grand Canyon. And my wife has been to the Grand Canyon before, and this is my first time. And my wife said, I know that's early, but we're going to get there, and we're going to watch the sunrise up over the canyon. We got there. It was dark. We had our headlamps on. We're walking to the south rim, and we have our camp chairs, and we got our coffee, our chairs. We have it set up, our spot picked out, and we wait, and it's silent. And the sun starts to rise and illuminates the canyon below. And I've never seen anything like that in my life. You're standing at the top of a canyon, and you're looking down over a mile down, and the sun is shining and reflecting off the rocks, and you see vibrant purples, pinks, whites, red, just colors that you would not imagine. And I sat there in silence, and I was just blown away. And had I gone to Arizona with the idea of I'm going to go to the Grand Canyon and I'm going to immediately hit the trails and I'm going to start training and I'm going to use this to get fit, and I would totally have missed the simplicity and the beauty of just being there and enjoying it for its own sake. And that's what recreation does. Now, that trip was one of the most refreshing trips of my life. I say refreshing, but not restful. In the 4 days that we were in Arizona, my wife and I hiked over 26 miles. And we spent 3 days in the car traveling. It was not restful by any means, but it was refreshing, because we were engaging in something that we love for the sake of that thing that we love. And by doing that, by playing outside in God's creation, we were able to look at nature just like, and be just like the psalmist here that says, God, who is man? Who am I that you are mindful of us? We had a very difficult year. But in those moments when we were seeing God in new ways through recreation and play, those things seemed to disappear. And we were focusing on who God is and seeing God as so much bigger than we are, so much bigger than our circumstances, that it drew us to gaze upon him in new ways. We saw his character as creator in very powerful and real ways. When was the last time you went out and enjoyed being in God's creation for the sake of being in God's creation? When was the last time you were stressed, but instead of going and plopping down in front of the TV or grabbing your phone, you went outside and took a walk and just looked at all the blessings that God has given us through his creation? Play refreshes us because we can see glimpses of who God is in new ways. And when we enjoy him for the sake of just who he is. Play reflects God's characteristics, but it also is a foreshadowing of God's, the joy of heaven through who God is. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Chris mentioned that the idea of going to, you know, if you go to a fancy restaurant, sometimes they give you a little sample of food. It's a kind of a taste of what's to come. Now, personally, I have not been to those fancy restaurants, but I have been to a Sam's or a Costco. And growing up, I hated going shopping with my mom, unless she was going to Sam's or Costco. Because we all know it's the free samples. And I was one of those kids that would like bring a hat and like hide it under his shirt the first time through the line and go through all the samples and take them and then go back through with the hat on to see if I can get more. But those samples are there to say, hey, this is what this meal tastes like if you buy it. This is what would be you get more of if you buy our product. Well, play is that sample of heaven's joy here on earth. We look back at Psalm 8, verse 5 talks about that God has made us a little lower than the angels, and he has crowned us with glory and honor. And we've been given dominion, and that's a foreshadowing. That crown that we have is a glimpse of the ultimate crown of joy that we will have in heaven forever with him. G.K. Chesterton, a man who was a Roman Catholic, but he wrote a lot of brilliant works on theology and just the Christian life. And he says this, he said, "It might be reasonably maintained that the true object of all human life is play. Earth is a task garden. Heaven is a playground." Heaven is going to be this wonderful place where rest and work and play are so melded together that we can't distinguish them. Because we're in the moment of where our true refreshment comes, and that's in the presence of our Savior. Earth is a place where we have, because of the fall and because of sin, Scripture says that work is toilsome and a burden. It's not always fun. Sometimes our work can be a lot of fun. As a youth director, I have moments of great fun in my job. I get to go and play games. I get to go on retreats and have fun and watch people do some really crazy and stupid things. And it's awesome. And I'm typically one of those people that get to go up and do and be goofy. And that's a wonderful part of my job. But during those moments, it's great. But there's also just the normal, even in ministry, of I got to get up. I got to go to work. Sometimes I don't feel like it. Sometimes work can be a burden. But play is not like that. Play is a foreshadowing of what heaven is going to be like, where it's pure joy all the time. There's not going to be the burden of work. There's not going to be the moments of, oh, I don't really want to get up. I don't really feel rested. But it's that perfect place where we can have joy all the time. One thing I love about play, and one way it reflects the joy of heaven, is play brings people together in ways that they wouldn't normally cross and meet. We see this often when there's been a tragedy. We don't usually have unity work days. We'll have unity concerts, which is an aspect of we're gathering together for the sake of unity around the playing of music. Play brings people together that might normally stay on opposite ends. In 1915, Europe was engulfed in the First World War. And in Europe, they just dug these massive trenches all across Europe. And these armies just sat in their trenches and they just bombed each other with artillery shells, machine gun fire, mustard gas. And in that in-between moment, part of the land, it was called No Man's Land. And if you've seen pictures of it, it's just this desolate, burnout wasteland. It was the winter of 1915, and in this particular place in Europe, the British Army was entrenched, and across No Man's Land was the German Army. And these armies had been pounding each other with artillery and all sorts of horrific weapons for months, day and night, leading up to this point. And these two armies decided, you know what, it's cold, we're not doing anything, let's have a ceasefire. And so these two armies at this one particular place formed an unofficial ceasefire. This did not come down from high command or anything. It was just these two groups decided we're going to have a ceasefire. And when they stopped fighting, these men got out of the trenches, walked towards each other into the no man's land, and started a game of football or soccer. They started playing together. These men who have probably not had sleep for days, weeks, because they've been trying to kill each other, rather than staying in their trenches in the moment of ceasefire and saying, you know what, I'm going to catch up on my sleep, they came together and played a game. Men who were grown men who were trying to kill each other played a game. And they played a game, and enemies became playmates. One soldier wrote a letter back home describing these events. And he said, after describing the joy and the taking of pictures and the laughter and everything, he said, "It was the most beautiful thing I have ever seen. I love that picture of how," and we've seen it, that playing of games brings children who don't normally interact with each other together, or adults who have been in combat are brought together because of a game. When we engage in play, when we engage in community events like community runs for the sake of just being a part of our community, we experience a joy of heaven because there's no broken relationships. And we're there around a common goal to have fun doing this, engaging in this particular activity. And that reflects heaven, where humanity will be gathered together around the common person of Jesus Christ. And play reflects that truth, that hope. We see that reflected through play. Now, I am learning how to play as an adult. As I said at the beginning, I chose this because I don't really do this very well. When I'm tired, when I'm stressed, my go-to is take a nap. Or as an introvert, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to hang out in my office, my room, and just kind of recuperate in private. And I don't engage. I don't always feel the need to say, you know what, we need to go outside and put forth some of the energy involved in playing, and it actually will bring us rest. I'm learning how to do that. And one of my favorite books of all time, and I'll close with this, is The Screwtape Letters. And this quote is actually in your bulletin, but for those of you who might not know what the Screwtape Letters is, it's a book by C.S. Lewis about an older demon writing letters of advice to a younger demon on how to tempt his client or his Christian, and talking about how they are to approach tempting Christians, the older demon says this. He, now that is God, makes no secret of it. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore, which comes from Psalm 16, 11, which we used in our call to worship. He has filled his world full of pleasures. There are things for humans to do all day without his minding in the least. Sleeping, washing, eating, drinking, making love, playing, praying, working. Everything has to be twisted before it is of any use to us. Those are the demons. Play is a gift from God. And we often view it as sometimes a waste of time. It's not going to do much for me. It's not important. And that's that we're experiencing how it's been twisted. Our hearts don't engage and view play like we do work or rest. It's kind of that, well, that's for other people, but it's really not that important. But the idea of play has been twisted, that we forget the importance of it. And we don't always make use of this wonderful gift God has given us for our refreshment. So this morning, this afternoon, as we go forth, students out there, I encourage you to put homework aside. Now, it needs to get done. It needs to get done. So I know I see you back in the back going, oh yeah, looking at your parents saying, hey. No, it needs to get done. But there is great refreshment and spiritual nourishment found in playing and enjoying God and seeing the gifts of God that he has given us through play. Adults, you know what? I'm a big fan of Sunday afternoon naps. But you know what? I would encourage you to maybe postpone your Sunday afternoon nap and engage in playing with your family. Go out in the backyard. It's a beautiful day. It's sunny. It's nice and cool. Go for a walk with your family. Enjoy the recreation and be renewed through his creation, through the act of play. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity we have to hear from your word. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to ways that we can be refreshed through your gift of play. Lord, I pray that you would remind us that it is a gift and that we will not see it as anything less, but a gift from you that we should be engaging in. Lord, we pray that you would be with us today, that we would be refreshed through worship, through Sunday school, and also through playtime and engaging in your gifts. Lord, we pray all these things in your name. Amen.